Ramban Parshas Ekev. So the parsha begins Vaya Ekev Tishmun es hamishpatim, and it will be that you keep the mishpatim. Why mishpatim? And what does mishpatim exactly refer to here? So the Ramban suggests mishpatim means keeping people in line, like if somebody doesn't have area, they get malchus, that kind of mishpat. And why would he that need a special azhara? Because he says people feel bad. When someone doesn't have era, okay, so they didn't have era, they feel bad beating them up or killing them, as the case may be. And sometimes they're afraid of killing them, because who knows the backlash, right? You mess with the Sinaloa drug cartel, yeah. There, people are afraid to fight with people, because it might blow back at them. So, it's saying that you should, therefore, don't be afraid, and keep the mishpatim, and do what needs to be done. Don't have rachmanas, don't be afraid, do the right thing. And then, what's the next pasuk? Following that, the next pasuk is Vahevcha, Vairachacha, Vihirbecha. What is Vahevcha? Hevcha, the Ramban says, means he will make other people love you. And you will get blessing, and you will become bigger. So he says that, in Momshat, that Vahevcha means that he will cause the families of the people that you judged, meaning, let's say you gave somebody Malchus, so you think their family hates your guts. No, Hashem's gonna make an ace, and they're gonna, or I don't know if it's an ace, but Hashem will make it, give you chen, that they will love you. Or in general, the population will love the judges, because they know they're doing the right thing. He even says the families themselves, the families are the ones who got hit, they will love you. They will not hate you. And they, Hashem will give you uvei racha, Hashem will give you bracha, that is, nothing bad will happen to you because of what you did. And vihir becha means, and you'll become many. What does that mean? Let's say you got an Irin Nidachas. That's an entire city that worshiped Avodah Zarah. Or Rove of a city. So what do you gotta do? You gotta kill them all. Okay, but now there's only gonna be a few of us left. If we kill the whole city, or let's say, God forbid, a lot of cities like that. So then there's only gonna be a few of us left. Don't worry, Vihir Becha. If you have to kill someone or a city in Irin Nidachas, don't be afraid, there's gonna be no Jews left. So if there'll be Jews left, Hashem will make you many. Okay, then Hashem, promises them that, they'll miraculously conquer all their enemies. But then we have something that sounds to like hedge a little bit. It says in Pasuk Chaf Beis, "Vashal Hashem lakech zakayim elam pimpanecha mi ma'at ma'at. Losuchal kalosa meher." Hashem is going to let you destroy your enemies, but slowly, not too fast, because lest there be, if there's no people, then the animals start coming into the city, and then it's dangerous. So Rashi already asks. Rashi says, what do you mean? Why should they be afraid of animals? If they're doing this, Ritzon Hashem Makom, Hashem will make nisim that no animal's going to bother them. Rather, Rashi says, rather, Hashem wrote this because he knew they would sin. So Ramban comments similarly, that even though if they do the right thing, they will completely destroy their enemies and they won't have to worry about anything, Hashem is saying that he knows that their chus will not be at that level. They're not going to reach that level. Therefore, Hashem will still help them conquer Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to be with like that kind of level miracle that they don't even have to worry about. The lions and tigers are going to be scared even though there's only one guy living there. So Hashem's going to have to do it slowly, because it's going to have to work more b'derech hateva. Okay, then in Perek Ches, it says, remember, v'zachartas kol haderech asher halicha Hashem lekecha zor 40 shana. Remember this whole traveling in the wilderness 40 years. To afflict you, to see if you'll keep his mitzvahs. He afflicted you, he made you hungry, and he fed you man, that nobody knew, so the Ramban explains this pesukim, not any different than I guess you would think at the pasuk pshat, but does spell it out that The man was a huge nitzayon, meaning they went out into the midbar and they brought, you know, lunch kind of thing, like they brought some ugos that they made into matzahs, and then they ran out of that. And Hashem, he did not lead them. Hashem did not lead the Jewish people past cities where they could just buy food. He kept them in the midbar where they were for sure going to die. There is no food. And once you walk out far enough, you're stuck. It's like being stuck in the middle of the ocean. They were stuck in the middle of the midbar with no food. And it did not come right away. And that was done on purpose, meaning they were hungry at some point. As it says that they, you know, Vayari Vecha, they were hungry. and they had to cry out to Hashem that they were all, you know, and then Hashem fed them the man. Why? Why didn't Hashem just start with the man on day one or whatever? All this was to test and maybe to give them the future fortitude that they would follow Hashem's mitzvos. So they were hungry first, and they had a daven to Hashem, and that put it deep in their hearts that Hashem is the one who gives parnasa. And they had to keep his mitzvos, right? They couldn't put the man in the cupboard. They couldn't collect it on Shabbos. That they followed his mitzvos, and that they'd have to rely on Hashem and know that Hashem is the one that provides for them. And they had their needs taken care of all the 40 years in the desert. It's not just food, clothing too. Like the Ramban says, if you take clothing and leave it around for 40 years, it's going to get destroyed. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, if you kept a suit for 40 years and just left it in the closet, I don't know that it would get destroyed. I guess their clothes were not like that. If you left, that's what the Ramban says, if you leave clothing lying around, even without being on a person who sweats and makes the clothing, you know, disintegrate fast, even if you just left it on the side, after 40 years, it would be, they didn't get any new clothing all those years. So if you left clothing, and that's what it sounds like, if you left clothing on the side for 40 years, side of the, you know, it would get ruined on its own. Kol shekein, it's on a person's back who's sweating and whatever. And yet, their clothing did not wear out. It was in perfect condition for 40 years, even with the sweat and with everything. Hashem cleaned it or made it clean, and, you know, so that was another nice. They had food and clothing, totally beneath. Again, this is all when they keep brought to Hashem, then Hashem will support them. Okay, then in Pasuk Zayin, it says Hashem's going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, which is an Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachli Mayim, Ayonos Utahomos. What are Ayonos and Tahomos? The Rabban explains the two kinds of springs. There's the kind of spring that's a fake, kind of, and a real spring. So that's why my words. So a fake spring is where it really just, it's runoff. There was something that came off the mountaintops and gets sucked into the ground and it comes out. And then there are springs that come from deeper down, and those are called tahomos. So it sounds like what he's referring to is the springs that come off of runoff or from a mountain and go into the ground and then come out somewhere else. That would be the ayonos, and the ayonos tahomos are the ones that are in on the deeper level, I guess, that are more like where you dig a well. So that kind of spring is, I assume, what he means by the ayonos tahomos. Okay. Just to be clear, Chazal always talk about Tahom as if there, you know, there's some like water underground, which of course there is. I believe the way we understand, we as in 2025 understand science, is that there's no Tahom that starts in the Tahom, meaning the water, when water evaporates in the ocean, it goes up to the sky and then it turns to clouds, then it rains on the ground. The water goes into the ground. Eventually, it goes deep, 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 deep till the rock formations are enough that it has to stop. And then it flows back until it comes out into the ocean. Or if it's a spring, it comes back out into the above ground. So I don't know what exactly Tahom refers to. It obviously has a specific meaning. It's in the Tahom. So Chazal can call it the Tahom. But what this, the more surface level springs, I don't know exactly how to define which is what. I guess my understanding is just the runoff type spring that comes right back out at the top would be the Ayonos, and the Tahomos are the ones that are deeper down. Okay, you know, if you look in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's a, to me, something interesting in the Ramban here. It says, talking about Moshe breaking the Luchos, and it says, V'etpos b'shnei ha'luchos v'ashlichim me'al shtei yodai v'ashabrim le'neichem. I broke the Luchos in front of your eyes. So the Ramban says that Moshe is trying to tell him the Tovas that he did with them, and this is the Lashon of Yitachin Shir Mazol B'Tovas Shasei Maim Ki Sikein Ba'atzmo Lishpor Luchos Elokim L'Tovasam. He endangered himself by breaking the luchos letovasim. That means to say, Moshe Rabbeinu put himself in danger. Like, how did he know? It's not like Hashem told him to break those luchos. That was Moshe's decision on his own. They were the luchos. Hashem just wrote them, and Moshe Rabbeinu went and broke them. That required, you know, a lot of confidence for sure. A lot of courageousness. He obviously he thought he was doing the right thing, and Hashem agreed. Right? We say Hashem says to him, Yashar Koch Hashishi Barta. But at the end of the day, it was still dangerous. Was he so sure? What if he's wrong? So it's Sikin Batzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu put himself in mortal danger. Lishbor Luchos Elokim Latovasim was for their good, to help them. He took that risk. It's just interesting just to think about that it wasn't like so pashut, obviously, what Moshe did. And in fact, there are midrashim that said that all the chachamim were around him, giving him 300. This is not the Ramban, I'm just telling you. There are midrashim that say that the chachamim came, gave him 300 kal v'chomer, something like that, to not break the luchos, and Moshe was sure he was right and broke them. And we know that he was right. But it was a danger, and he did it for that. Okay, then we have the discussion of the Aron. This is Machlokas, and this is in Perikyot. Machlokas, beginning of Perikyot, Machlokas, Rashi, and the Ramban. So, according to Rashi, there are two Arons. The one that Moshe made, the one that Patalo made. The one that Moshe made was when he got back down from the Har Sinai. He had to put the Aron somewhere, the Lucho somewhere. And then Betzalel, meaning the one that was made for the Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, that Betzalel made, the one that Moshe made, that was the one that went out with them to war. The one that Betzalel made, the regular Aron that we think of, that stayed in the Mishkan, except once they took it out to war and it was captured. That's Rashi. Okay, so then the Ramban asks the obvious question. Okay, according to Rashi, there's two Arons. And Rashi says like they were both in use constantly. There was the Aron in the Mishkan, and then there was the Aron that Moshe made, and that would go out with them to war. So you'll ask, the Luchos can't be in two places. If the Luchos are in the Mishkan, in the Aron that Betzalel made, what was in that Aron that went out with them to Melchama? There's nothing in there. So it's the Shivri Luchos were in there, according to Rashi. Okay. So the Ramban says that's based on a Braisa, and it's that person who says that is the Das Yochid. The Rabbanan say, no, everything was in the Aron in the Mishkan. So, what happened then to the Aron that Moshe made? So, he says, the Ramban understands that it was buried. You know, it was like all Tashmisha Kedusha that you don't need anymore, so it was buried. It was put in Geniza. That's what the Ramban says. There was one Aron, that's the Chachamim Sheet, that there's one Aron, and the Aron that Moshe made, from when he came down from the Har Sinai right away, that was just put in Geniza after they stopped using it, but everything was in the Mishkan. Nothing went, there was no other Aron. Okay, just moving right along in Perek Yud, Perek Pasuk Ches Tes, it says Beisa he hived the Hashem Meshevet Levi. So just saying over one pshat, the Ramban says in one pshat that this refers to the Kohanim. It says Shevet Levi, it's not really Shevet Levi, it means the Kohanim. Lase says Aron Bris Hashem, they were carrying the Aron. Labul Ifnei Hashem Lasharsel Verich Mishmo Adayom Mazeh, they're doing the avoda of the Karbanos. But now you have a strange verse. What does it mean? Therefore, the Levi, and there it certainly means Levi, they don't get any chelik. So what do you mean, therefore? Hashem chose the Kohanim, therefore Levium don't get a chelik. So the Ramban explains you'd have to say, therefore means, therefore, since the Levium help the Kohanim, which are doing the service to God, therefore Hashem doesn't give them Nachlan, and they get the Jumas and Maisus instead. But the reason I'm pointing this out is the Ramban says, Kicholdvar, why is this, what does one do with the other? Bavur Shakulam Misharsim Bozer Nasakonim, Babudasam, and here's the line, Kicholdvar Hamikdash Bavur Karbanos. Everything in the Mikdash is the Karbanos. Really, what the Levites are doing are really just helping the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are doing the Avodah and the Karbanos, and that's how they're all connected. And it's just interesting because the Ramban, even here in this week's parasha, says the purpose of the Mishkan is to be a makom for the Shechina. He writes that in Parashas Truma, it's supposed to be like a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai, that Shechina would always be there. And he says that in this week's parasha too, that the purpose of the Mishkan was, on the Beis HaMikdash, was to have a makom for Shechina. It was back in Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis, he says, in Ramban there, Ki ikra kavana b'chola Mishkan lios Hashem Yoshev akruvim, that Hashem's Shechina should be there. So it just should mean therefore that it's via the Karbanos. In other words, that's what does it. Cause I'll tell you why I'm pointing this out. The Levium used to do lots of stuff. And one of them is to be Shomer the Mikdash. So you could have said that was straight Kavod Hashem direct. It sounds like that's all, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but it sounds like that's all to, make it a more chashuv bias for Karbanos. And once the Karbanos come, therefore, the Shechina comes, and that's the way it works. Like the, cause as the Ramban is saying, everything the Levium does is to assist the Kohanim. And that's for the Maisa Karbanos. That's what he says. And if the whole place is to have makam shechina, that means them doing their guard duty would be just to make the house more chasher for kabana, more appropriate for kabanos, and then for kabanos that causes shechina to be shara. But maybe it's avdafka, maybe that avoda is straight, like for the kabbat of the shechina. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, then later on we have the famous pasuk. It's in Perek Yud. Pasuk it beis ma Hashem lakach Hashem mei machvadas Hashem asked from you just to fear him, to keep all his mitzvos, and it ends with lishmar mitzvos l'tov lach, for you. So, and then continues hain Hashem lakach Hashemayim 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 Haaretz. Hashem can owns everything, control. So the Rabbi explains the point is that Hashem is asking you to do the mitzvos not because he needs it, it's because you need it. It's good for you. And the proof that Hashem doesn't need it is, Hein la Hashem elakecha, Shemayim, 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 Haaretz v'chalav Shabbat. Hashem controls the whole world, so what does he need your mitzvahs for? It's for your good. That's what that pasuk means. And now it says, now next, whatever, two pasukim later, Malten es orles levavchem, v'arpachem lo sakshuod, so you have to be machnir yourselves. So the Ramban here says, Sheyiyeh levavchem pasuach ladas emes, your heart should be open to know the truth, lo kasher asisim ad hayom nazeh, not like you did till now. And as it says, Shalom Asan Hashem Lachem Levil Das Yenayim Leros Yenayim Leshmoa, and Orpachem Lasak Shuvot. Don't be like your forefathers. Lo Tiu Kavu Seichem Dor Sarah Amora. Don't be like your forefathers. Remember, this is the generation going into Mitzrayim, Eretz Israel, rather, not the ones that came out of Mitzrayim, because the ones that came out of Mitzrayim got messed up by being in Mitzrayim in the sense that they learned from the Mitzri's ways. And I'm reading the Ramban. Vehem Koshim Lazov Darkom. It was hard for them to leave those ways. Kamosha Asos Egel, like you see, they did the Egel. And they were called an Am Kshei Oref. And that's why. Because it was hard for them to break what they used to do. Shle Yeshuva Min Atos HaNichlas Balibam Lachshos Sheish Tu'alas Ba'avodas HaMalachim Mitzvah HaShemayim. It was hard for them to break that mentality. There's a purpose in Avodah Zarah. But you guys, you didn't grow up that way. Aval Atem Teidu V'Taminu V'Taskilu K'Hashem Hu Alokechem. Who there's no purpose in Avodah Zarah at all. Hashem loves the whole world. It's just interesting. Okay. Then it says it's in Perek Yud Pasuk. I'm sorry, Perek Yud Aleph. First Pasuk Perek Yud Aleph. After Hashem Lokecha Mishmarta Mishmarto. Love God your guard and watch his watch. What does it mean to watch his watch? So the Rabban first says the Pasuk Pshat is keep his mitzvos, be careful with the mitzvos. Then he says something really cool. Listen to this. Mishamarta, mishmarto. You be shomer what God is shomer. Meaning what? It says Hashem is shomer asagerim. And chonin dalem. Osim mishpat yosem ma'amana. That's what Hashem shomer. You be shomer that too. Like ma'hu rachem, ma'fatah rachem. I mean, be like Hashem. Just like Hashem is kind to all. And he shomer asagerim. And he protects almanos and yosomim. You be that way too. That's Shomer Mishmart. You be Shomer and Hashem is Shomer. Okay, then we have another interesting thing, which maybe you heard of, maybe you haven't. It says in, again, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, V'asher Asa Lachem Mitzrayim L'susiv L'rchbo Asher Hetziv Esmei Yamsuf Al Pneihem. So this is talking about the miracles Hashem did for them in the Yamsuf, that Hashem drowned the Mitzrim in the Yamsuf. B'rab T'vam Acharechem, after they chased after you. V'ya'abdeim Hashem Ad hayom hazeh, Hashem wiped them out. Ad hayom hazeh. What does that mean? Ad hayom hazeh. So the Ramban asks, he doesn't know what that means. How do you kill someone forever? You know, yeah, of course they're killed forever. What's the other option? They drowned in the sea, and Hashem destroyed them forever. Well, they're dead. So yes, it's forever. What does that mean? Forever. Ad hayom hazeh. Till today. Till today, they're dead. What would you expect? So he says, Ramban says, one pshat is, you could say, when it says Adayom Hazeh, it's referring to when Moshe's talking. That is, they were not able to they weren't able to replenish themselves. Ramban says, maybe it's going on the chariots, like they weren't able to replenish their military. They were wiped out. They remained wiped out till then. But here's the interesting thing. He quotes the Ibn Ezra that says, Shlokamu od b'neim tachteim lios kemoem. Which means, says the Ramban, Ritono lomar, not only did Hashem kill the Mitzrim that ran after them, he also killed the children that were at home of these soldiers. The soldiers that ran after the Jews in the Midbar, besides them getting drowned, their kids back at home died. They all died. That's what it means, Adayom Hazeh. Hashem wiped them all out, meaning their kids died too. Why? Because these are extra evil Mitzrim. You know, after watching 10 Makos and the Mitzrim and the Jews leave, now you're going after them? So those were super evil Mitzrim, must have been super anti-Semites. You know, you find this kind of thing, like, right, by the story of Purim, right? After everything that happened, and Achashverosh says, okay, I'm on Esther's side, everybody, and he can't take back his decree, so he says, okay, everybody should be on Esther's side, and anybody can help the Jew. You know, like, it was obvious that he signed the new law, Haman gets hung, and he's saying all the Jews should defend themselves, so if you got any brains, you know, like, don't mess with the Jews, the king likes them now. And yet, they still had a war. Because there's always anti-Semites that don't care. They're taking to go after you anyway. If they can, they will. It sounds like that's how the Rabban understands this, that the people who ran after the Mitzrim were the super anti-Semites. So they got killed, and their Zerah got killed. Okay, continuing on, it says that you should keep all the mitzvos. Why? The meaning you have to do this is because the land you're going to, Israel, it's not like Eretz Mitzrayim. Rather, that you could irrigate, they could irrigate from the Nile. Rather, it is a place of mountains, because there you got to use rain. And Hashem is darish tamid. And so if it doesn't rain, everybody's going to die. So you better keep the mitzvos, because if not, so then there's no Nile to go to. So the Ramban just points out, this is obviously talking b'min hago shel olam. And from this we learn that he says, in other words, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and it doesn't rain, so, you know, you need a extra chusim to survive. You have to daven for Hashem to make a miracle, so to speak, and now the rain come. Whereas if you leave in Egypt and it doesn't rain, you don't need a miracle. You go to the Nile River and get some water for your field. So, living in Eretz Yisrael, it's better. Rainfall is obviously better, because if it rains, you don't have to go make irrigation ditches. You don't need to go try to figure out how much what. It just rains. You go to sleep, everything's taken care of for you. You don't have to set up the sprinkler system, nothing. L'mtar shamayim tish tamayim is the best. But you're in a precarious situation. And the Ramban says, right, so that's why you need more schusim. You have to keep the mitzvahs, because if Hashem gets angry and it doesn't rain, so now you need an ace to save you. So he said, the Ramban says, Mizan Ilmod, Kiafa Pisha, Kolber Shuso, Nakobeno, Vital, Havid, Yoshri, Mitzrayim, Hovish, Narosom, Yorim, even though it's all the same to God. God could make a miracle, and then all of a sudden the Nile River would just dry up, and they all die too. Hashem doesn't need any help. However, Hashem set up a way the world works naturally, that if it doesn't rain in Israel, people will die quickly, and therefore, similarly, a chola, a sick person, needs the schus of tefillah to be merapahim more than a well person, meaning a well person just wants to be well. He davens, doesn't need too much nisim or too much schusim, maybe is a better word. Doesn't need many schusim to be well. But whereas a sick person needs a lot of schusim to get out of the matzav he's in. And same a poor person who wants to be rich, he needs more schusim than a rich guy who's already rich, right? The rich get richer. It's more, you know, money, when someone's rich, money builds on it. It's easier for them to stay rich or get rich than the poor man. The poor man needs more schusim to flip all the way to be rich. Anyway, that's the idea that there is when the world is knowing alpines, okay, so that means if the person is a super, super duper tzaddik or a Klal Yisrael is on a high level, then nisim. But if it's not that way, if Klal Yisrael is working on a regular level, so then everyone has to remember to keep the mitzvos and Eretz Yisrael more, because it's more precarious there. But Hashem is Dorish et Tamid. Hashem's eyes are always there. And I guess somewhat similarly, then we have the parsha of Hayim Shemoah, where it says, you should love God with all your hearts and all your soul, plural. B'chol avavchem v'chol nafshachem. It's talking about to the whole tzibur. And then, and in Shema, right, we say, b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshachem, singular. So, the Ramban says, because in the parsha of Shema, we don't talk about it raining and you having a lot of money and food and whatever. Only in the second parsha. And that is because, he says, when you're talking about the tzibur, that's when it's going to affect the rain. That is, when Klal Yisrael as a whole is doing well, it rains and everybody's got money and it's all good. And God forbid the opposite. But when it comes to a yachid, you know, it's not going to rain on one guy's house and not rain on the next guy's house. So if a yachid is doing the right thing, so Hashem will, you know, have to help that guy out somehow. If he's a tzaddik and make an ace, if he's a regular guy, you know, he'll have to, the world works on its in its regular way. So Hashem will work out the this guy gets his either punishments or rewards somehow, some way, either in this world, the next world, his Gilgal, I don't know, however Hashem has to work it out, but it's not going to be obvious. Whereas the Tibur will be obvious, meaning if the rove of the Tibur is doing well, it's going to rain. If not, not. An individual says a zillion individuals. So every individual, unless they're, like the Ramban says, Dak ya nisim lo yasu la tova la ra rak la tadikim gemur la rishayim gemur. If you want, talking about nes, where it's literally going to rain on your house and not the next guy's house, that only happens to either a tzaddik gemur, or the opposite, being the one guy's house who it doesn't rain on, rishayim gemurim. But beninim, gederech menhagel shalolam yeyasem behem, tova o ra. So there's a way the world works. Tova rak, gedarkim mechal ilosam. Ay, so what's going to be with that guy's mitzvahs and averes? Every person has their own chesh. But okay, so Hashem has to work it out for them, but it won't be openly miracle like, oh, I was did a lot of tshuva this week, sakim, it didn't rain. Okay, because if Rav Klai Shol is not was not doing the right thing at that time, it's not going to rain just on your house unless you mamish became a tzaddik gomer. But Hashem will work it out one way or the other, in some other way, or in a non-miraculous way, or in Olam Haba, or in the Gilgal, or whatever. Everyone has to get their, everyone will get what they deserve, but not in a very clear A equals B, as opposed to when it's the whole nation, then it is going to be obvious. If the whole nation is doing the right thing, it's going to rain. Whether or not, it won't. Okay, then just what's Pashup Shad in this fight? Just reading the words. It's just, again, there's nothing, just Pashup Shad. Maybe you never thought about it. It's Kedai since we say it every day. I will give the rain in its time. Different kinds of rains. And you will gather your grain, that's wheat, mitiroshka, wine, v'yitzarecha is oil. V'nasati esim besancha levimtecha, there'll be lots of grass for your animals, and v'achalta v'savati, you'll eat and be satisfied. Who will eat and be satisfied? It's just putting the words together. We were just talking about the immediately previous to those words, we were talking about the animals. The animals will have lots of grass. And you will eat, and you will be satisfied. How's that connected to the animals, the grass? So the Ramban says, he thinks it means that you will eat the animals, meaning you'll have the wine, the wheat, the oil, all that, and there'll be a lot of grass for your animals to eat. Memela, they'll be nice and plump and fluffy, and then you can check them and eat them. So you'll eat the animals too. That's vechalta zvata, all the animals also. And he quotes a Sefri, and Sefri says, no, when your animals have enough to eat, they'll work hard. They work hard, you'll have more food that way, and that's what it means. Okay. Okay, then later on we have in beginning of Maftir, it says, Kim Shmar Tishmuras Kal Mitzvah Shonachim Mitzvah Hayom La Sosa, to love God, Alech Shod Rachav, Ola Dov Kabo, to be connected to Him. So, this is also important. The Rabban says, V'yitachin Shetichlo Av Dveiko Lemor, what does Dveikos include? Sh'tia Zocher Hashem V'avaso Tomit, think about Hashem, and your love to Him will be constant. Lo tiparin machshavtcha mimenu. Your mind does not leave thought about Him. Belechtcha v'aderach, b'shachpav kimecha. Atshiyu dvarim b'riyadam b'piv l'shono, v'libo ini imayim. You hear that? Atshiyiyah dvarim b'riyadam b'piv l'shono. You're talking to people, v'libo einenu imayim. Your heart's not there, your heart's elsewhere. Val hulifnei Hashem. You're so connected to God that you think about Him wherever you are. And when you're talking to people, you're talking to them, but your heart is connected to Hashem, thinking about Hashem, which is obviously a very, very high level, but that's what the Torah is saying, that's Ladov Kabo. And it says, V'yitachin v'anshei ma'ila zo, sh'tiyin nafshem g'am b'chayeyem, tzurim b'tzorah chayim. Some person like this, even while the person's alive, is tzurim b'tzorah chayim, and exactly what that is, means it's connected to Hashem. Kihem ba'atzma ma'ona l'shchina. They are a place for the Shechina. Such a person is so davak b'Hashem, so the Shechina is with a person like that. They have miraculous things happen to them because they're connected. They're always connected to Hashem, and then miraculous things happen to them. And the Shechina is with them. Okay, that's it.